Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's happening with the state Republican Party? Do Iowa Republicans like the current crop of presidential candidates? What challenges and opportunities does the party face? Let's go in depth with Matt Strawn, chairman of the Iowa Republican Party, Des Moines. So, Matt, give us the big picture of the Republican Party right now as it sits. It's caucus time. People are declaring. What's happening?
Well, I think it's remarkable to even see the opportunity Republicans have in the state of Iowa, in the state that just 4 years ago launched Barack Obama. We've seen this state, whether you're Republican or Democrat prognosticator, Iowa is going to be one of seven states whose electoral votes will determine who the next president is. We've had 30 straight months of Republican registration growth at the expense of the Iowa Democrats. We've taken a deficit of 115,000 voter registrants in January of 2009 and whittled that down to about 30,000. We just trail the Democrats now, and I'm hopeful we can get to parity by caucus night, early next year. So I think there's a lot of enthusiasm for our candidates, but it's also still a very unsettled field. A lot of Iowa Republicans are still at the dating phase and not at the marrying phase, as opposed for which candidate that they're going to caucus for. So I think one reason that Iowa Republicans are being so deliberative is they understand the stakes of getting this decision right. They see an Obama administration whose policies, quite frankly, are out of step with not only our Republican principles and beliefs, but I think with most Iowans' principles and beliefs. So we want to make sure during the caucus process we're not just getting the decision right for Republicans, but we're getting the decision right for Americans.
I'm reading a lot in the national media about Republicans not being quite so happy with this slate of candidates. But you're telling me Iowans are happy with this slate? They like the choices that they have?
Yeah, I believe so. We saw that at our straw poll. We had a tremendous turnout in August in Ames, second highest ever. But the one thing that was most interesting to me was the amount of people that had never attended before that came up, not driven by a specific candidate, but came because they felt they had to do something, to help save their country. So, they're going to town hall meetings, they're looking these candidates in the eye, and I think they understand the field we have now is the field we're probably going to have, so they want to make sure that they get the decision right.
So no Palin, no Christie entrance, you don't think?
I'd be surprised if Governor Christie decided to change his mind. He's had some very declaratory statements about not running. Governor Palin, she still has not definitively ruled it out, as you know. But the one thing, a lot of people outside Iowa don't understand is how organization-heavy the caucus process is. It isn't the type of process that you can make a decision, late in the game that you want to seek votes at caucuses. You need people organizing in upwards of 1,700 precincts around the state, convincing their friends and neighbors on what could be a very miserable weather night in February or late January to come out and caucus. So that isn't the kind of thing that can be put together in very short time frame. So if Governor Palin still is deciding whether or not to run, it's something that she should make a decision on fairly quick because that window is closing.
Now, I know you're probably not going to tell me who has the best Iowa organization, but what are the characteristics of the best organizations? What makes them work?
Sure. Well, of course, I've got to be neutral in the process as the individual who oversees the caucuses. Retail politics, a candidate that will let an Iowan walk up to him, look him in the eye, and ask him a tough question about their positions or beliefs. And that has proven to be the successful formula in Iowa time after time. You don't win the caucuses by necessarily running the most TV ads or giving a speech in front of thousands. It's coming to our coffee shops, our small businesses, out at the farm co-op, letting Iowans, regular voters, look you in the eye, size you up, kick the tires, and then make a determination for themselves if that candidate is someone worth caucusing for. So what that does require is it requires candidates to be in Iowa. And I think that's been the tried and true method of success, and I don't see any reason that that's going to change over the next 3 or 4 months.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Matt Strawn, chairman of the Iowa Republican Party. Now, you've talked about some growth of the Republican Party in Iowa. When we first started this introduction, you talked about actually quite remarkable growth. Now, that didn't happen because of the presidential candidates coming here. That happened because of something else the Republican Party is doing. What have you done this time around that wasn't done in the past?
Sure. And everything's a team effort. One thing we've done is we have revitalized county organizations all across the state. The Republican Party, is only as strong as its 99 county organizations. And one decision we made going back a couple of years ago that has really paid dividends was staying out of primaries, actually, and moving away from the old style of having a few party leaders pick who your candidates are. Instead, we quite frankly empowered local Republicans, whether it was state legislative races all the way up to our governor's race, that I believe contested primaries were a healthy thing because it gave the grassroots people in an area more say over who their standard bearer would be. And what we saw is we had a lot of independent voters that wanted to participate in our primaries. So, of course, to do that, they had to register as Republicans, and they've stayed there. A number of these newly activated kind of Tea Party type activists, I think as long as Republicans are talking about limited government, personal responsibility, empowering the citizens, devolving power to the states from the federal government, we're going to continue to see that growth. And, I think the other thing we did last year, which was very, very advantageous, is we were on offense and we were helping explain to the voters in Iowa why there was the difference in our conservative governing philosophy. And at the time, a one-party Washington, D.C. and a one-party Des Moines. So I think as long as our candidates and our party leaders are showing that distinction in our policies, we'll continue to be successful.
Now, you mentioned the Tea Party, and the Tea Party makes at least some of the Washington Republican establishment nervous. I mean, we see that almost daily. How's the Tea Party in relationship to the Republican leadership in Iowa?
It's tough to say what the size of the Tea Party is, and I don't view the Tea Party as something that's defined by personalities. I see it as defined by principles. And in my conversations with Tea Party leaders, if they want to become Republicans, great. But if they don't, they want to stay independent, that's certainly their right. But it's my expectation if Republicans continue to field candidates whose beliefs and principles are consistent with those Tea Party philosophies of, again, limited government, personal responsibility, having a federal government that is much smaller and leaving the states more power and the individuals more power, then it's my expectation that those Tea Party activists will support Republican candidates that align with their beliefs. So I really look at their efforts as complementary. I know they're going around the state helping educate Iowans on how to participate in the presidential caucuses. I think that's a very positive development. But at the end of the day, people that are active in the Tea Party movement may or may not necessarily want to identify with the Republican Party structure, and that's fine. As long as we're working on the same track of electing, principled conservative leaders, I think it's to mutual benefit.
The storyline is that they may not declare as Republicans, but they're going to vote Republican. Do you believe that?
I do. And history would suggest, at least going back to our primaries around the state in June of 2010, that's exactly what happened. If they're going to participate in the presidential caucuses, which I hope all your listeners do, because it is something that all Iowans really should not take for granted, because trust me, there are outside of New Hampshire, there are 48 other states that are extremely envious of the opportunity Iowans have. So I anticipate they'll be caucusing as Republicans for their chosen candidate.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Matt Strawn, chairman of the Iowa Republican Party. Do you have any thoughts on why the Tea Party emerged in response to Barack Obama when the same problems they identified were under the, many of them anyway, if not most or all of them, were underneath, were happening under the Bush administration?
Yeah, that's a very fair point. It's valid. I think part of it is people that just didn't feel that their beliefs and their principles were listened to, both by a Republican Congress and the Bush administration, in the 2004 to 2006 era, as well as the Obama administration. And a lot of those people are people that had never been involved before, small business owners, retirees that, quite frankly, didn't recognize policies coming out of Washington under the control of either party. That really represented what they believe was the American dream, that was the best of America, and they felt that they had to do something. And that's one thing that I think, helped fuel our gains as Republicans in Iowa for the last year or so, whether it was folks running for local municipal offices, the state legislature, even Congress. They're people that never thought they were going to run before, but felt that they had to do something. And I think that's really what fueled the Tea Party movement. It's what fueled a lot of our great candidates that didn't like the way business was being done under control of either party in Washington.
I'm sure you're looking forward to the next legislative session. What's the chit-chat in the party about the next election the next session?
Sure. Well, the next election actually is about 7 weeks from now. We have a special election in Linn County, in Marion and rural Linn County, for a vacant state Senate seat. And it was vacated by an appointment of a Democrat state senator to the Iowa Utilities Board. So prior to that, it was 26-24 Democrat control in the Senate. So the opportunity for Republicans to gain a 25th seat and force a tie really is the priority over the next 7 weeks. It is a true blue swing district. It's been represented by Democrats and Republicans in the Senate. So that really is going to take the focus of most of the political attention in Iowa over the next 7 weeks. But in talking to Governor Branstad and legislative leaders, it's getting back to some of those issues that didn't quite get finished last year with property tax reform, talking about education reform. Governor Branstad had an education summit this summer where he outlined some of his reform initiatives. And as somebody who's the parent of school-age children, I'm pleased to see reforms that are focused and defined by education achievement and success, and not necessarily defining education success by how much money we spend and throw at our schools.
Now, was that a brilliant move by Branstad or a traitorous defection by the Democrat?
Well,
you'll see it painted both ways.
You will. And one thing that, state law is very clear on is partisan balance, on the public commissions and boards. So there was a requirement that the governor appoint a Democrat to this vacancy. And someone in Senator Dan DeCar, had a strong legislative record and is somebody that, was very much up to speed on the issues that face the utilities board. So I think it was a great appointment for someone that is very competent, was a fantastic appointee. And the fact that it gives us an opportunity now to win a 25th seat, we're not going to take that for granted. And, I'm confident in our candidate, Cindy Golding, over there as a small business owner and a job creator. And Linn County is a county that those are the issues that motivate voters right now, talking about how we need to incentivize and really get regulations off the back of our small businesses.
That'll be a very interesting race, and there's going to be a lot of money poured into that race, isn't there?
Yeah, there is, and that's it's the blessing and a curse when you're here in Iowa. We're under the political microscope all the time. It's an issue that's going to be decided on local races, but it doesn't mean that outside groups aren't going to come in. The current Senate Democrat leader, Mike Gronstahl, has already analogized it to the Democrats' effort in Wisconsin during the recent recall elections, where you saw upwards of $30 to $40 million spent. That's a tremendous amount of money when you're talking about potentially 12 to 15,000 people actually casting a vote in this district. But the stakes are high, and I think people realize that Iowa, going back a few years, was fairly reliably Democrat, and the pendulum has swung back dramatically. So people realize that there's a tremendous amount at stake, not just for the legislative session, but as we prepare for the presidential election next November.
There's going to be millions and millions of dollars of out-of-state money coming in for that election, isn't there?
There is, and, especially looking forward to next year, the downside of being a swing state, yes, we get a lot of attention from the candidates, but we also get a lot of attention, some of it not necessarily wanted, from outside groups that want to influence Iowans' opinions. And one thing that Iowans need to be prepared for, post-Citizens United Supreme Court decision, it has allowed a greater flow of corporate money into political advertising. So I think both sides are going to be in uncharted territory on the amount of outside money that comes into Iowa that floods our airwaves, and it's just something that Iowans are going to have to be prepared for.
Well, if they're going to spend their money somewhere, it may as well be here, right?
Without question. I hope they make sure they're doing all their advertising on our locally operated radio stations.
Well, great. Well, that works for me. We keep hearing about other pesky states wanting to move their primaries, caucuses, whatever, up. We're always going to be first, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I talk about across the state is at the end of the day, the date may change when we caucus, but the order won't. And it will be Iowa. It will be New Hampshire leading off the process just like we've always done. We're tentatively scheduled for February 6th. But to be candid, that is a date that may likely move up I'm optimistic, though, that it won't move up to the degree that it did 4 years ago. I think I speak for probably most Iowans when I say that I don't want to be going to my precinct caucus and wrapping Christmas presents simultaneously.
What's the most interesting and fun part of all of this for you?
Getting out of Des Moines. You know, I'm an Eastern Iowa kid, Benton County farm kid, and just the opportunity to, it's just a great state with good people. And it's, some of it's personal. You know, I was in Buchanan County at a dinner a year ago, and a gentleman came up to me who was approaching 100 years of age, and he had served on the Jessup City Council with my grandfather in the 60s. Happened to be in Iowa County one night, had a woman come up to me whose parents had sold my grandparents their first farm in outside of Van Horn when they had first gotten married in the 30s. It's just a great state. You know, so some of those personal type stories, people have an opportunity to meet across the state. And it's just, you know, I really do feel that we've made a difference. When I ran for this job following the 2008 elections, you know, my top goal was to make sure that Iowa Republicans were relevant again in the state of Iowa. And I don't think by anyone's measure, we can't say that we've succeeded. Now the job's not done. You know, my job will be complete when we deliver Iowa's 6 electoral votes to the Republican nominee next November. But the great thing is it's been a, you know, it's a true partnership with our counties across the state and just a lot of good people that know the changes that are necessary and willing to help out and make a difference.
Thanks to Matt Strawn for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.